morning again. I'm so thankful that all of you are here, and I feel joy in my heart that I am here to be able to share with you. So when I was in second grade, my family moved to the old Weiss Farm on Weiss Road in Quakertown. Such a blessing to grow up there. The brick German-built farmhouse and farm and barn were absolutely amazing. Now, we would have been considered a farmette as my father continued his occupation of selling medical equipment, so he was not a full-time farmer. We kept a number of animals on the farm, usually small numbers of cows and horses and pigs. One goat, he jumped on my uncle's brand new car, and that was the end of our one goat. Chickens, geese, turkeys, cats, dogs, and sheep were other animals that we had on the farm. When I was in fourth or fifth grade, I noticed a white truck out parked by the sheep field, and I walked toward the field to find out what exactly was going on. The closer I got to the field, I could identify that there were two men in the field, and they just seemed to be chasing our sheep from one side of the field to the other. I didn't go too close, but I shouted, "Hey, what are you doing?" And the gentleman stopped, and they immediately apologized for being in our sheep field. And they said, "We just wanted to see how stupid sheep are." They started to share that in the eyes of Jesus, we are like sheep in the pasture. And they went on to say that Jesus must really love us because sheep seem really dumb. They truly need a shepherd to care for them. And boy, aren't we blessed to have Jesus watching over us. And then they went back into their truck and drove off. What a wonderful lesson for me, cautiously watching them chase our sheep. But that story has stuck with me my whole life. Shepherds during biblical times were identifiable by their white tunics and their leather belts. They would hang a bag of dried fruit on the belts because they would be away from home for many hours. They also carried rocks in the bag so that they could use their slingshots to ward off dangerous animals. Usually a horn would be attached to that belt, and at times there was oil and maybe sulfur and tar inside of that horn, and this would be placed on the forehead of the sheep to keep the nose flies and the bugs away. If the sheep were bothered by the flies too badly and they didn't have that yucky smell on their foreheads, the bugs would get worse, and the sheep would push their heads on rock, on brush, or on other sheep, and at times they would stay there until they had no breath and they would actually pass out. The shepherds would carry a rod and a small club along with a staff that stood 4 to 6 feet tall. I read these items were used for protecting, inspecting the sheep, like under their fur for any infections or bug bites, protecting, inspecting, redirecting, and correcting. When an obstinate sheep or lamb would wander away too many times, the shepherd would hit its leg and proceed to then carry the lamb back over on his shoulders back to the flock. The more a lamb was carried by the shepherd, the more it bonded to the shepherd. John writes about Jesus using the shepherd as an illustration to help people believe and know that Jesus is the good shepherd. My sermon this morning focuses on John 10, 1 through 18, the good shepherd and his sheep. John 10, verses 1 through 6. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus uses this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. These simple creatures, sheep, have a special ability to quickly hear the voice of their shepherd, and they follow no one else. They depend entirely on him, and they seek help from him alone. They truly cannot help themselves. They totally rely on the shepherd's aid. The loving shepherd will provide a sheepfold for safety during the night for his flock. People, too, can be close to danger. They can be lost without the love of their shepherd, Jesus. Just as the shepherd guarded the sheep with his life while sitting, sometimes laying down at the door of the sheepfold, we know that in Jesus, there is safety for all of God's children. The good shepherd loves his sheep. The shepherd can identify his sheep by their eyes, their size, and their shape. He knows them by name, and he will notice if even one of them is missing. The shepherd is able to lead them out from the fold to the green pastures. And when he takes them out to graze, he doesn't drive them and push them from the back. He goes before them to prevent any mischief or danger that they might meet along the way. And they follow him. Matthew Henry notes that Jesus spoke this parable to the Jewish people using figurative, wise, elegant, and instructive language, but they did not understand the meaning. The Pharisees had a sense of conceit of their knowledge and could not stand that it should be questioned. And yet they could not understand the things that Jesus was sharing. Frequently, the pretenders to knowledge are most ignorant of the things of God. John 10:7-10. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." In this parable, we understand that thieves and robbers who have no lawful reason to enter a sheep's pen will climb the wall or break through a window. They will not enter through the door. The shepherd will enter through the door and provide care for the sheep. He comes to do good. Anything or anyone that tried to enter or leave the pen would have to come through the shepherd first, so he could monitor and make sure that those sheep stayed safe. The thief comes to misdirect, not feeding the hungry, not caring about all of the flock. Jesus cares. Jesus cares for all, sharing, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. All who enter the gate through Jesus will live forever under the care of the great shepherd." It is by faith in Jesus Christ as the great mediator between God and man that we come into communion with God. There is no entering into God's church but coming through Christ's church. Matthew Henry wrote, "Christ said, I have come among men that they might have life. He came to put life into the flock, the church in general, which had seemed rather like a valley full of dry bones than like a pasture covered over with flock. Christ came to vindicate divine truths, to purify divine ordinances, to redress grievances, and to revive dying zeal, to seek those of his flock who were lost, and to bind up those who were broken. And this to his church is as life from the dead. He came to give life to believers." John 10:11-18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the world attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for those sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. I'm going to take a break. I wanted to share with you a gift that one of my neighbors shared with me when he and his wife found out that I was going to be a pastor here at Wellspring. My neighbor Glenn made this for me. Is that not amazing? Do you see this?
Yes.
Wow. It will probably be hung in my office at some point when Jeff gets back. I almost get the chills when I look at this. He loves us, and we are his. All we have to do is ask. In our passage shared today, Jesus compared himself to a shepherd. He said he was the gateway. As the good shepherd, he is the best in the world to oversee our souls so faithfully and tenderly. I feel emotional, sorry. He is the way to life, and anyone else that might try to stake such a claim is tricking us. We are like sheep, wandering around and needing guidance. We can trust in Jesus to provide for us and to protect us. He will never leave us. No one has the ability to guide us and feed us and protect us and lead us as Jesus does. He said that a good shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep, and that's exactly what Jesus did. We can trust his promises, and we can rejoice that our shepherd has rescued us from our sins and from death. And we know that he cares. Each of us is precious in his eyes, and we can rest assured that he listens when we call to him, just as we did this morning in our prayer time. He listens when we call to him, and he gives us life, and he gives us his love. Jesus encourages the bringing of the wandering into the sheepfold. Faith comes by hearing, and our observance of the voice of Christ is both the means and evidence of our being brought to Christ and to God by him. Pastor Steve Hopkins concludes from the passage that Jesus draws on this illustration to share that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He wears the robe of righteousness, and on his belt is the sling and the stone representing the broken body and the blood shed to keep his enemies away. The Holy Spirit is represented in the sheep's anointing oil poured over us. These are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The rod that the shepherd carries is the word of God for our benefit and for our protection. We are encouraged to love God and do these things. The staff represents the promise that Jesus will never forsake us or leave us. This is the gift to all of us, and we will consistently be redirected by our Good Shepherd. This message focuses on the importance of recognizing that Jesus is our guide. This message is that we can rely on Jesus. As humans, we easily stray from what is right, but God promises that he loves us and he cares for us if we follow his instruction. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows your name, and he loves you. He knows everything we struggle with. Our shepherd knows our worries, and he knows our doubts. He is never disappointed with us, ever. He prays over us and for us. He loves us even though he knows that we will mess up. We need to trust him and to know that good will come from the failings. All good things come from Jesus. We are blessed to have a good shepherd who truly loves us. Jesus gave his life for us willingly and rose again to offer us everlasting life. We can take heart in the truth of what Jesus promised, because he already accomplished our salvation through his death and his resurrection. Through the book of Psalms, we get a glimpse of the character of God and how we should rightly respond to him in worship. In the familiar Psalm 23, we are introduced to God as the Good Shepherd. Jesus talks about laying down his life for his sheep, and we are reminded that we are all sheep who have gone astray and need the faithful guidance of the Good Shepherd. I'm going to read Psalm 23. If you want to open your Bibles or find it on your phone, it's up to you. You may read with me. You may just look at the words. You may just listen. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just like David, we too can always trust in God, and we can always worship him. Even when times seem dark or scary or uncertain, or when we are happy and joyful, in every moment we should worship the Lord, because he is good. God loves and watches over us throughout our entire lives. God has big plans for your life, no matter what your age. The Bible says so. Listen to what the Bible says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know you are our good shepherd, for which we are so thankful. We apologize that we are not good sheep. We appreciate that you watch and love us continuously. We are grateful for your love and for your willingness to give your life for us. We are thankful to be safe in the fold of our shepherd's arms. We ask for your protection over our frontline workers and healing for those who have been sickened by this virus. And we pray for the leaders of our country and the leaders of the world. Thank you. Thank you for being the Good Shepherd. Help us to listen for your voice and to follow you and trust you. We know you will guide us and you will protect us. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for your love. We love you, Lord, our great shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.